Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to the show and a relatively new company in the royalty space, especially in the precious metal royalty space. The company is Vox Royalty, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VOX. And for everyone down in the US, you can find their symbol VOXCF. I'm chatting with the CEO, Kyle Floyd. Now, Kyle, let's start off with a little background on how Vox came together. The company just went public under a year ago, but it was private for about 7 years. Take us through how the company got funded and the whole strategy of staying public for that long, building up some royalties, and then moving into the public markets, please.
Yeah, well, thanks, Corey, for having us. It's a privilege to be on the KE Report. Vox did indeed start differently than most royalty companies start. Most royalty companies, as you know, come to market with very, you know, usually very little in terms of the portfolio that they have. They try to grow on market. They try to get valuation maybe before they deserve it, and then use that to go acquire additional royalties. Vox really started with the investor as the focus, and the business was started. I previously ran the mining investment banking division for a firm called Roth Capital and had a group of investors that were frankly not overly satisfied with the risk-adjusted returns that they were generating in the junior mining sector, and approached them and said, look, I think we can build a royalty company that that finds, to use a portfolio management term, that finds alpha in the royalty space by building a differentiated model with true competitive advantages. And so that the little family office started us off with $7.5 million back in late 2013, early 2014, and we built privately. And that really forced a lot of discipline, both in terms of creating the long-term competitive advantages that we enjoy today, and building those up, along with being very disciplined in terms of what we're acquiring and the accretive nature of what we're acquiring. And those real principles and foundations that we laid for the business back in 2013, 2014, are really what is paying off for investors now. And it's very different from how most royalty companies start, and I think provides a lot of value for both our existing investors and new investors coming into the story now.
So let's talk about where the company stands currently with the royalties that you hold in your royalty portfolio. Break down how many royalties, and also can you break down where you classify them in terms of production, development, and exploration?
Certainly. We have 50 royalties and streams now. We've led the industry in growth in terms of acquisition of royalties. And what I would tell you is most important is we believe we are delivering more value in terms of the royalty acquisition prices we're paying than any other royalty company out there right now. So 50 royalties and streams. We went public with just one production stage asset. Our focus is assets in terms of what we're acquiring, usually about 3 to 24 months out from production. We now stand at 5 production stage assets. Over the next 12 months, we believe that number is going to be north of 10 based on operator guidance. So that's unprecedented, unparalleled growth in terms of really what investors are very focused on in today's environment, which is cash flow growth. Production growth precedes that cash flow growth. And so we came out with some guidance today in terms of what we expect for next 12 months revenue, actually 2021 revenue, but our everything is growing at an exponential level. Now, we have an additional 40 royalties and streams that are coming up the curve in terms of their production capacity. We would qualify about 15 outside of those 10 that are production stage assets. We qualify about 15 to 20 of those as development stage assets, so have some form of engineering around them. And then you've got another, call it 20 exploration royalties. But we're seeing tremendous growth in all capacities where assets are moving up the development curve. So exploration into development and development into production and production increasing. So it's quite a powerful portfolio the way it stands today in terms of delivering leverage for investors.
So when it comes to making deals on these royalties, you made the argument that you guys are adding the most value to some of these transactions. How are you doing that when the space, in all fairness, right now, especially in the precious metals royalty space, is pretty crowded? There's been a lot of new entrants to the market.
It's amazingly crowded, and it's amazingly competitive. And if you listen to any of our competitors speak, they'll tell you the same thing. But going back to your question about how we started, what we focused on was creating competitive advantages. We focused on intellectual property. So we acquired a database and built, we're building a database of what now is approaching 8,000 proprietary royalties that gives us the opportunity set that's much larger than most of our peers, because we can find royalties they can't find, whether it's buying now producing gold royalties or near-term producing gold royalties. We bought royalties from hearing aid companies. We bought royalties from automotive parts companies. We bought royalties from telecommunications firms. We bought royalties from technology companies. We are finding royalties that have been long lost and forgotten for a very long time. And so it's that ability to find what are non-core assets for different disparate holders of these royalties, bringing those into the portfolio of great value. The other thing that we went about setting as a competitive advantage is we have tentacles into every major mining market through our deal sourcing agents. These are individuals that we've been building a relationship with for the better part of the last decade, that whether it's finding the doctor that was in a remote city in West Africa, where we actually had the royalty under LOI, but Roxgold had a preemptive right, and they ended up purchasing it. You might have, some of the, your listeners have probably seen what transpired on a larger carbon copy of that royalty, with which was the Seguela asset, with both Gold Royalty Corp and Franco paying multiples that we paid for essentially a carbon copy. And so it's, we're finding people, we're connecting the dots between, hey, we know where a royalty is, we know the asset that it covers, and we actually know who the owner is, but also finding the owners of these royalties all over the world. I think we've done a better job of connecting that ecosystem and that pipeline for opportunities than anybody else in the market, all of that underpinned by a very technical team. So what separates us, again, is a very technical team. Our key business development senior executives are either mining engineers, geologists, or both. And so we're looking for the best assets that have royalties over them where we can find the best value. And that is how we built our portfolio. And that is how we built the tremendous value that we're creating for our shareholders.
So Kyle, reading through the corporate presentation, you do touch on this database that the company acquired that gives you a rundown of a lot of these royalties that some are probably not known at all to the rest of the market. How did you guys go about acquiring this database? What else can you tell us about this database?
No, it's a very significant competitive advantage for us. So when Vox started, we said, how are we going to create competitive advantages? Just like you'd expect any other business in any other industry. And royalty companies believe that they can just arbitrage and arbitrage and arbitrage, and that's the value in what they offer investors. We approached it differently and said, arbitrage multiples can be there, but that's not something you bank on. You bank on finding fundamental value. Discounts in net asset value, meaningful IRRs, and obviously lining up in cash flow creative ways. Most of the space hasn't done that. And so when we looked at it, we said, okay, finding third-party royalties, buying those, that's exclusively what we focus on, has unlocked the most value over the last 20 years in the royalty sector, going back to Franco, Nevada, doing this in Nevada in the late 80s and early 90s. Focusing on third-party royalties. That's what we focus on. We started building IP around that. We were building it. We found another company called Mineral Royalties Online that frankly was way farther ahead than us, both in terms of how they went about building it and the duration of time they had been building it. So they had 7,000 royalties that were proprietary in nature that we were able to bring in on a principal basis into Vox and then high-grade that database. How they built it, a lot of it was finding hard copy free text references to royalties all around the world, and then digitizing that data. So I can't get into tremendous level more detail than that, but that ability to take what a lot of that data has been destroyed and it's not in electronic form other than in our database. And so that is you know, one of the key underpinnings of our success is leveraging and high grading that database and bringing those royalties into the portfolio of great value.
All right, one more quick comment regarding the royalties, the 50 royalties that the company holds. Give us a better understanding on breakdown between metals when it comes to precious metals and non-precious metals and jurisdiction. Where are these located?
I'll start with the latter first. So jurisdiction, 80% is in the US, Canada, or Australia. About 70%, about 67% actually is in Australia. And we have a first mover advantage in Australia, which is really something we focused on. We believe it's the best mining jurisdiction on the planet, and our ability to unlock our IP and leverage our IP there, along with our deal sourcing agents, along with our understanding of the Australian marketplace, has really allowed us to build that first mover advantage. We're now the second largest holder of Hard Rock mining royalties on the continent after Franco-Nevada. So also, much like Franco-Nevada is kind of what we would say is the North Star in the industry, they've generated the highest multiple and the most shareholder value for the longest duration of time. They have about 20 to 30% of their portfolios in the other basket outside of precious metals. We looked at that and said, that's the right model to follow because you're able to find great value in non-precious royalties that are great, terrific, long-term hard rock, what we'd say bullish supply-demand curves for those commodities that we bring into the portfolio. So much like them, we have 70% that's NAV weighted to precious and about 30% other. That's probably fluctuated a little bit where we're probably more a little north of 70% NAV towards precious with the latest acquisitions. That's probably up near 75%. And then that 25% other is a combination of copper, vanadium, iron ore. So commodities that that have really done well in terms of price over the last few years.
Now, when it comes to cash flow for either last year or even more importantly this year, what are some of your estimates in terms of how much money the royalties, the producing royalties, will generate for the company?
Sure. We just came out with guidance today. And so that it was, we've been waiting for some of these operators to really give firm guidance. And that's what we base our estimates on is operator guidance. And so we're forecasting about 1.6 to call it about $2.5 million in revenue. We think we're going to be probably towards the higher side of that. Again, some of that's going to depend based on how some of these operators actually hit their numbers and leaving in some conservatism in terms of what we're forecasting. But I think the critical part of that is that revenue is coming. It's we went public with basically at a pre-revenue level. It's growing. What you'll see from us in 2022 and 2023 is going to continue kind of on that curve of exponential growth in that category.
All right, Kyle, let's talk about some of the other company fundamentals. Share structure, little under 40 million shares outstanding. What are some of the larger shareholders and how much does management hold, please?
Yeah, good questions. So we have under 40 million shares outstanding right now. We have about, I believe it's about 5 million in warrants out at about a 450 strike price. Management owns about 15% of the business. The founding shareholders own north of another 25%. So we're still relatively tightly held. We actually forward split the stock when we went public. We had accretively grown the business privately, very significantly so. And it resulted in us forward splitting the stock when we went public. So I would say still very, very low amount of shares outstanding and what we believe is a significant amount of leverage to the fundamental growth of the business. Also, no debt, and we recently raised about $17 million. We're very well funded for the foreseeable future. We have no plans on going back to the market anytime soon. We'll be able to continue to build that growth with cash on the balance sheet, cash coming in from our royalty revs. And we also are in process unlocking a tremendous amount of what we would call value from non-core assets. There's a lot of value in that database that we've received a tremendous amount of inbounds on in terms of how we unlock in commodities that may not be a focus for Vox. So you will continue to see us unlock value across the asset base that Vox holds for the benefit of shareholders. And that will either get likely repaid to shareholders either through continued buyback or dividends. So there's a lot of tremendous fundamental, what I would call concrete return of capital and growth for shareholders ahead in the Vox story.
You guys are very good at putting out news to update everybody on what the partners are doing on the projects where you guys hold royalties to keep everybody up to date. But when it comes to future news flow and the key catalyst for the company, what do you want investors and those watching the company to focus on?
I think there's a couple key things to focus on. One is we believe we're dramatically undervalued. Of course, every CEO that you probably have on your show has a similar type of comment around their company. The reality is we're trading at about 0.6 to 0.7 times price in that asset value. And what we're delivering and delineating for the market is that that underlying portfolio is truly tremendously undervalued. We continue to see assets. Look, we have exponential growth in revenue. We've had exponential growth in terms of royalties acquired, and those royalties acquired, we have not received credit for how valuable those truly are. And what you're starting to see in the portfolio is we're just passing on. You mentioned the immense amount of news flow we have. That is a direct byproduct from the royalties that we purchased at great value. And we're cherry picking the assets that have a tremendous amount of development catalysts in front of them. And those catalysts just delivering to the market what we forecasted essentially internally would happen. And that's creating this an upswelling of organic growth in our portfolio. So there's the cash flow growth that's ramping from pre-revenue to the guidance that we issued today to how that is forecasting out to 2022, 2023 and beyond, where that curve continues, along with just this upswelling of growth in assets. For example, we had an asset that we had about, call it on $50,000 to $100,000 on our books, just as we were kind of checking on our royalties over the last few weeks. We usually are looking at progress on assets. This one surprised us. They came out with production guidance that they're going to be in production this year. That was an asset that we had $50,000 to $100,000 on in terms of book value. Analysts give us absolutely no credit for it. That's going to be a royalty that re-rates most likely into the millions of dollars in value. And that is just organically being produced within the portfolio, where we are getting no credit for that in our share price today. But those things will eventuate in getting credit in the share price and that fundamental growth for investors.
All right, Kyle, I appreciate the update. Again, Vox Royalty, if anybody has any follow-up questions for Kyle regarding any of the royalties or any of the strategies that he has outlined here, please feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Kyle to address those. And we will also follow up on the back of some more, let's call it significant news, either project developments or new acquisitions. Kyle, I appreciate your time. Thank you for the update and introduction.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having us.